Grammar Girl here. It's time to take another look at a perennial source of confusion and frustration in English grammar, the pronoun whom. But first, we're sponsored by Run Phones. You've heard me talk about how much I love sleep phones. Well, the company also makes Run Phones to wear while exercising. The summer version is made from lightweight material that you wear like a headband. And the flat speakers inside let you listen to music or podcasts in comfort. No more will you have to struggle with earbuds that fall out or hurt your ears. Run Phones are washable and comfortable. Visit runphones.com today to get a pair. They'd make a great gift, too. That's runphones.com. So, I talked about whom in episode 44 and episode 98. And I'll give a quick recap to set the stage here. But if you haven't listened to those yet, or if you're not sure you remember, you should go back and listen to them to get the most out of today's episode. In episode 44, Who versus Whom, I covered the basics. Whom is the objective case of the pronoun who, used when who is an object in a sentence instead of a subject. For example, you'd use who in Who Loves You, Baby? Because who is the subject of loves. But you'd use whom in Whom Do You Love? Because whom is the object of love, the object of affection. In episode 98, Who versus Whom Advanced, I took on more confusing cases, such as Who Do You Think Did It? Since there are two verbs in that sentence, think and did, at first you might think it should be Whom Do You Think Did It? Who isn't the subject of the verb think, but it is the subject of the verb did. Since it's in the subject position, the correct choice is who. It's not different from the simple case we just covered. It's just that the sentence is a little more complicated. If you're comfortable with everything so far, way to go. You probably know more about the use of whom than the majority of everyday English speakers. However, they say a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, and you now know enough to get in trouble. You must continue your grammar Jedi training, or risk being pulled to the dark side, or at least the muddled and confused side. Waiting to trap the unsuspecting writer is the issue of whoever versus whomever. At first, there might seem to be no problem. Take a clause like, whoever did this. We use whoever because it's the subject of did. Now take a clause like, whomever I hire. We use whomever because it's the object of hire. So far, so good. The trouble begins with the fact that whoever did this and whomever I hire aren't just ordinary clauses. They're noun clauses. Clauses that act just like nouns. When you use these noun clauses as subjects or objects in larger sentences, the picture gets more complicated. Suppose the noun clause, whoever did this, is part of a sentence like, I want to speak to whoever did this. Uh-oh, you may think whoever is the object of to, and it should be whomever. But you'd be wrong. Whoever was the right choice when we were thinking about the clause by itself, whoever did this, and it's still the right choice now. But what about that to in, I want to speak to whoever did this? The answer is that the object of to is not whoever, it's the entire clause, whoever did this. Remember, this is a noun clause. They call it that because the whole thing acts like a noun. And in this case, the whole thing is the object of to. Let's try another example with the noun clause, whomever I hire. Suppose it's part of the sentence, whomever I hire will start immediately. What is the subject of will start immediately? It's easy to trick yourself again and turn that whomever into a whoever, because it looks like the subject of the sentence. But again, we made the right choice when we looked at it in isolation, whomever I hire, and it's still the right choice. The subject of will start immediately is the entire noun clause, whomever I hire. So to choose between whoever and whomever, look only at the noun clause in which it appears, and disregard the rest of the sentence around it. I'm sorry to say that learning this rule is unlikely to save you from whom-related grammar anxiety, for two reasons. First, The reason there's so much confusion about whom, that I have now spent 3 episodes discussing it, is that it's a dying word. It appears so rarely that casual speakers don't have enough data to figure out how to use it just through context. If they haven't learned about it specifically in a grammar book, they'll make their best guess about how to use whom. And often, that best guess is that you use whom when you want to sound especially formal, regardless of whether it's a subject or object. If whom survives at all, this sentiment could well become the accepted standard, like it or not. Worse, if that's the rule your audience is going by, they might regard you as stuffy and highfalutin when all you're trying to do is use standard grammar. It's completely unfair. Second, even those who've learned about whom have often learned only enough to cause confusion in the more difficult sentences. Even if you're in a group of whom supporters, at least some of them will be firmly convinced that whom do you think will come to the party is standard grammar. At least some of them will be convinced that I want to speak to whomever did this is correct and want to change your whoever to a whomever. Although the rules I've given are considered standard now, the misconceptions could well become standard in the future. In the minds of some grammarians today, they already are. To avoid the whoever, whomever problem altogether, you could rephrase it as the person who or the person whom, or even just the person. So instead of I want to speak to whoever did this, you'd have I want to speak to the person who did this. Instead of whomever I hire will start immediately, you could write the person I hire will start immediately. When you're faced with a whoever, whomever choice, it's often a good time to dodge the issue and simplify your sentence. Thanks again to our sponsor, Run Phones. I really love this product, and I think you will too. You can see a demonstration in a video on their site. That's runphones.com. And since you listen to this show, you probably love English, but do you struggle with math? I do, but we don't have to. Check out our math dude, Jason Marshall's free new ebook, Why Math Isn't an Awful Nerd. He uses puzzles, patterns, and games to explain step by step exactly how numbers work. It'll help you with your daily math, and it won't put you to sleep. Why Math Isn't an Awful Nerd is a free download on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and iTunes. This podcast was written by Neil Whitman, who has a PhD in linguistics and blogs at literalminded.wordpress.com. And I'm Mignon Fogarty. I have 3 new books coming out in July, so I'll be telling you about those very soon. Finally, if you'd like an ad-free version of the show, you get that and access to the entire Grammar Girl archive in the Grammar Girl app for the iPhone, iPad, and Android. That's all. Thanks for listening.